We're going to be reading from Luke 24. Just a short passage right here, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, like all the men today. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. There are moments in life that don't just stay in the past. They shape everything that comes after them. Moments you don't just remember, you live from. Easter is not simply a moment we recall once a year. It's the moment that redefines every other moment. Everything leading into that, not just a distant idea, but as a reality that changes everything. Luke 24 brings us right into that moment, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Luke tells us that very early in the morning, at the dawn of a new day, the woman come to the tomb. And I want us to slow down and really step into that moment, because this is not just a detail, it's deeply human. They're carrying spices, prepared to honor a dead body. I know, talking to some of the kids earlier, when you hear that, like they brought spices to put on Jesus, like they're thinking it's a barbecue or something, but that's different day, different age. This is an act of love. It's an act of devotion. This is what you do when you love someone who has died and there's nothing left to do but to grieve and to remember. They're not rushing there with anticipation. They're not expecting a miracle. They're not having conversations about the resurrection on the way there. They're coming with quiet, heavy hearts. That the reality that it's over. They had seen him die. They witnessed this. They had watched his body taken down. They had followed Joseph to the tomb. They knew exactly where Jesus was laid. There was no confusion at all. There's no misplaced body theory. They knew the finality of death because they had stood close enough to feel it. And that's important because sometimes we read this account with hindsight. We know the end. We know the end. But they didn't have that luxury. For them, this was loss. This was heartbreak. Some of you attended it, really cool, about 80 people attended the Journey to the Cross on Friday evening. And if we didn't know the end of the story, then Good Friday doesn't sound really good. You leave with the darkness and the despair. Jesus, the guy that we've been following, the guy that we've witnessed miracles and heard him teach, all of this, he's dead. And that's where the disciples were left with. We have the luxury of the end of the story. But for them, this was loss. This was heartbreak. This was the collapse of everything that they had hoped for. And yet, they still come. They still come to the tomb. They come anyway. And there's something deeply powerful about that kind of faithfulness, the kind that shows up even when hope feels gone. The kind that still moves toward Jesus, even when you don't fully understand what's going on. What is God doing? They don't have clarity, but they have devotion. They don't have answers, but they have love. And so they take the next step. that they know how to take. And when they arrive, everything is already different. The stone is rolled away, which has got to be for them just this moment of like, oh my word, what happened? And you go in the worst case scenario. The stone's rolled away, not so that Jesus could get out, but so that they could see in. The tomb is open. And when they step inside, the body of Jesus is not there. Luke tells us, and he uses this word, he says they are perplexed, completely at a loss, just mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They're perplexed. Their categories for understanding the world are breaking down in real time in front of them. They are, in fact, deconstructing life in this moment because this is not what they expected. This is not how the story is supposed to go or was supposed to go. Dead bodies don't disappear, mostly. Dead bodies don't disappear. Tombs don't open themselves up. This doesn't fit the paradigm of the world that they live in, all the natural laws of everything. And I think this is worth saying. This is often where God meets us, when things don't fit, when things don't equate to what we believe they are supposed to. Right in the middle of what doesn't make sense, right in the space where our expectations fall apart, right where our understanding runs out. Because sometimes, before God reveals what he's doing, he allows what we thought was certain to be shaken. And in that moment of confusion, Luke tells us that two men stand by them in dazzling apparel. Heaven breaks into the moment. The woman are afraid. They bow their faces to the ground. And then comes a question that echoes through history. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but has risen. Everything changes with that declaration. Grief is interrupted by hope. Confusion is met with clarity, and finality gives way to possibility. The place that was meant to hold death becomes the place that reveals life. And notice this, Jesus is not found where they expected him to be because resurrection means he cannot be contained by what once held him. And that question still presses in on us today. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Where are you looking for life right now? Because many of us, if we're honest, we still return to the places that cannot give us life. Old patterns, old identities, old sources of security. We revisit things that were never meant to sustain us. And we wonder why we still feel empty. Jesus is not there. He's risen, and that changes everything. That means that what you thought was the end may not actually be the end. It means what felt final may not be final at all. It means God is able to bring life out of places that you had already given up on. Hear that. Because some of us, we've lost hope. We've lost faith. We've given up on areas of life that we were not supposed to give up on. God can bring life out of places that you've already given up on. Where do you need a fresh infusion of faith and hope and expectation? May we be anticipatory for what the Lord will do because he can do. Luke tells us that the women remember his words, and they run back to tell the others, but when they speak, it sounds like an idle tale to them, too good to be true, too far outside what anyone could expect. And yet, Peter runs to the tomb. Good old Peter. Peter runs to the tomb. He looks in. He sees the linen cloths by themselves, and he walks away marveling, just completely in awe. Because when the reality of the resurrection breaks in, or begins to break in, it disrupts everything. Later that same day, Luke takes us on a road, a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And it's important to notice the direction that they're walking. They're walking away from Jerusalem, away from the place where everything happened, away from the place where their hopes seem to rise and then collapse. Two disciples are talking together about everything that had happened. And you can feel the weight of this conversation. This isn't casual. It's not light. This is the kind of conversation you have when everything has shaken you deeply. Confusion and disappointment and loss. Luke even tells us in this passage that as they walked, they were looking sad. Their faces carried what their hearts were feeling. They had hoped that Jesus was the one, but, and that's what they say. The scripture actually says they verbalized the phrase, "We had hoped," past tense. We had hoped he would redeem Israel. We had hoped this was the moment. We had hoped this was the answer, but now in their minds, that hope has died with him. And I think that phrase lands close to home for many people. We had hoped. We had hoped the situation would turn out differently. We had hoped that prayer would be answered another way. We had hoped that God would show up sooner, clearer, or stronger. And when those hopes seem to collapse, the natural instinct is to start walking away. Not always dramatically, not always with clear decisions, but slowly and quietly we begin to drift because the hope that we had is now past tense. And we just take another step to the side and then another. We're like Homer Simpson, kind of shifting into the bushes. And that's what they're doing. They leave the place, the very place where God is at work, because they don't yet understand what God is doing. And Luke says something simple but incredibly powerful. It says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They didn't go looking for him because he's dead, he's gone. They weren't praying for an encounter. They weren't expecting him. But Jesus comes near anyway. And this is the grace of God on display. That even when we're walking in the wrong direction, even when our understanding is off, even when our hearts are heavy and confused, Jesus comes toward us. Not only does he come near, he walks with them. He matches their pace. He enters their conversation. He asks them questions. Hey, what are you talking about as you walk? Now think about that. Jesus knows exactly what they're talking about, but he invites them to say it. He gives them space to process, and he listens to everything that they share. And they begin to unload everything to him. They recount the events. They talk about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty indeed in word. They talk about the crucifixion. They even mention the reports from the women about the empty tomb, but they don't know what to do with it. And then they say it again. We had hoped. You can hear the resignation in their voice. This is when Jesus begins to speak. He doesn't shame them. He doesn't dismiss them, but he does challenge them. Imagine Jesus speaking this in your presence. Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe. Not as an insult, but as an invitation. An invitation to see more clearly, an invitation to understand more fully. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interprets to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine that moment? This person just appears and you're talking with them and they are unfolding all of the scriptures to you. They're speaking with such wisdom and insight, depth, of awareness of all of the scripture. Jesus is walking them through the entire story of scripture, showing them how it all points to him, how the suffering they witnessed was not a failure but a fulfillment, how the cross was not the end but part of the plan. He reframes their story. See, what they thought was defeat was actually victory in disguise. What they thought was the end was actually the turning point of redemption. And as he speaks, something begins to happen inside of them. They don't recognize him yet, but they feel it. And later, they'll say to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" There's something about when Jesus speaks truth into our confusion. When he reveals himself through his word, that it just awakens something deep within us. It's like something comes alive again. Clarity begins to replace that confusion. Hope begins to push back against despair. And they arrive at their destination, and Jesus acts as if he's going further. I've got farther and miles to go before I sleep. And I love this moment because it shows us something about how God works. He doesn't force himself in. He invites response. And they urge him strongly, stay with us. Stay. There's something about you, something about what you're saying, something about what we're feeling. Stay. And so Jesus does. They sit down at a table. And in a moment that echoes so many others, Jesus takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it and gives it to them. And suddenly their eyes are opened and they recognize him. The one who was walking with them the whole time, the one who was speaking to them, the one who was reframing everything, it was Jesus. And just as quickly, he's gone. Scripture says he vanishes from their sight. But by that point, it doesn't matter because everything has already changed. They don't need him to stay physically present because now they see clearly. Now they understand. Now they know he's alive. And you look at what happens next in that passage. They get up that very hour. No delay, no hesitation, no we'll go in the morning. That very hour, they return to Jerusalem. The path from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're going in grief. And while they're there, they encounter the risen Savior. They walk with him. They talk with him. They recognize. Did our hearts not burn within us? And in that moment, they turn around. And the path that was a path to grief now turns into the opposite road. And it's a path that leads away from grief, leads to joy, leads to hope, leads to celebration. That very hour, they return to Jerusalem. The same road they walked in discouragement, they now travel in urgency and hope. The same distance that once felt heavy now feels filled with purpose. You ever run long distances? And you're on like mile 10, but you know you've got 13 to go. You're on mile 10, and you're like, can't this just be over? And then, like, you know, there's only another mile and a half to go. And I did this, like, and my coach when I was in high school said, you're wasting too much energy at the end. You need to use it more on the front end. You need to break out and start out faster. But I'm like, whatever. I hate running. But when you know the finish line is in place and you still, like, there's that burst of energy. And now, man, I can sprint. And you look like a rock star coming through. You look like an idiot rock star coming through the end. Because, like, you're still in 40th place, but you're sprinting. Like, why didn't you have that energy? So the same distance that once felt heavy now is filled with purpose. And there, we're getting to the end. We're going back. We've got to tell this. Because once you've encountered the risen Jesus, you cannot go back to the same way of living. You can't unsee it. You can't unknow it. You can't go back to, well, we had hoped. Now it becomes, he's alive. And everything flows from that. And then Luke brings us into a room where the disciples are gathered, and there's still uncertainty, there's still fear, there's still questions, and suddenly Jesus himself stands among them and says, peace to you. They're startled, they're frightened, they try and make sense of what's going on. Like, what are we seeing here? But Jesus meets them right where they are, right in the midst of their doubt. He shows them his hands and his feet. He invites them to touch him. He even eats in front of them. This is not an idea. This is not imagination. This is the reality of resurrection. And then he opens their minds to understand the scriptures. He shows them that everything written finds its fulfillment in him, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise. and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. And then he says this, he says, you are witnesses of these things. That's who we are now. We're not just observers of a story. We're witnesses to a reality. The resurrection is not something that we just celebrate. It's something we live from. It propels everything moving forward. It means sin has been dealt with. It means death does not have the final word. It means hope is not wishful thinking. It's anchored in a risen Savior. And Luke closes his gospel, not with an ending, but with a beginning. Jesus leads them out to Bethany. He lifts his hands and he blesses them. And while he blesses them, he is carried up to heaven. And the disciples worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. Joy. Not because everything is easy, but because Jesus is alive. Let me maybe say that one more time. Joy is experienced not because everything is easy, but because Jesus is alive. And that brings us here. Not just into a place on a map, not just to a Sunday on the calendar, but to a moment, a real moment, because Luke 24 is not just their story. It's an invitation into ours. If we're honest, we can find ourselves in every part of this chapter. Some of you are in the place of perplexity, just like the woman at the tomb. You're trying to make sense of things that don't add up. Life hasn't gone the way that you thought it would. Prayers feel unanswered. Circumstances feel uncertain. And you're standing there asking, why is God doing this? Or what is God doing? You're not faithless. You're just trying to understand. Some of you are on your own Emmaus road. You're walking. You're moving. You're doing what you need to do. But underneath it, there's still this disappointment. Something didn't turn out the way that you had hoped. Maybe you've said those same words even quietly in your heart. I had hoped. And now you're trying to reconcile what you believe with what you've experienced. And some of you are in that room. Some of you are hanging with the disciples. You're wrestling with doubt. You want to believe, but there are questions you can't ignore. There's fear. There's uncertainty. Maybe even a sense of being stuck. You're not sure what to do, and so you stay where you are, just trying to process it all. And here's the good news that runs through all of Luke 24. Jesus meets people in every one of those places. No matter where you find yourself today, no matter what disposition of your heart and your mind, Jesus meets people in every one of those places. He doesn't wait for clarity before he shows up. He doesn't require certainty before he draws near. He doesn't demand perfection before he reveals himself. He meets the confused not with frustration, but with truth. He walks with the discouraged, not rushing them, but staying with them. He reveals himself to the searching, and he does it patiently and faithfully and personally. He brings peace to the fearful, right in the middle of their locked rooms and guarded hearts. And he's still doing that today, right now. Not just back then, not just in the pages of Scripture, but here, in this room, in your life, which means wherever you find yourself, you're not outside the reach of the risen Jesus. But Easter always brings us to a moment of response, because the resurrection is not something to observe from a distance. It's not just something to agree with intellectually. It's not just a truth to acknowledge once a year. It's something to receive. It's personal. The risen Jesus offers forgiveness of sins and new life to all who will turn to him. And notice the timing of that invitation. It's not when you have it all figured out. It's not when you have it all together. It's not It's not when you've figured everything and you've got, I know the answers to all of my questions. It's not when your life is cleaned up. It's now. Right in the middle of your confusion, right in the middle of your disappointment, right in the middle of your questions, right now. Because the same Jesus who met the woman at the tomb, who walked with the disciples on the road, who stood among the fearful in the room, he's here. And he's inviting you, not to religion, not to performance, but to himself. And if you'll turn to him, if you'll bring your sin, your past, your questions, your life, and place your trust in him, Scripture is clear. He'll meet you with grace. He'll meet you with love. Not condemnation, not rejection, grace. Forgiveness that is complete. A new life that is real, a relationship that's secure. And so today, we don't just acknowledge the resurrection. We step into it. We step into the life it offers, not a version of life we try and build on our own, but the life that is given to us through Jesus. We step into the hope. And the hope is secure. It's not fragile. It's not circumstantial hope. But it's steady, it's unshakable, it's a hope anchored in the reality that Jesus is alive. And we step into the purpose it gives, not wandering through life trying to figure it all out, but living as people who know that we are called, we are known, we are sent, because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And that's not just good news for someday, that's good news for today. And so the question is not just, do you believe this happened? The question is, will you respond? Will you turn towards him? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Because the invitation is open and the risen Jesus is still calling. Come. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth and power of the resurrection. We thank you that Jesus is not in the tomb, but he is risen and alive. We thank you that through him and in him, we find forgiveness and hope and new life. Lord, I pray for each person here today, God, that you would meet them right where they are. For those who are confused, bring clarity. For those who are discouraged, bring hope. For those who are searching, reveal yourself, Lord. And for those who are ready, give them the courage to respond. Help them and us to live as witnesses of the risen Christ, filled with joy and anchored with truth. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hey, would you put your hands out to receive this blessing? As you go from this place, may you go as witnesses of the risen Christ. May you go not carrying a story that you have heard, but living from a Savior who is alive. May the God who raised Jesus from the dead fill you with unshakable hope, anchoring your heart in the truth that death has been defeated and life has been secured. May Jesus meet you in every place you find yourself this week, in your questions, in your conversations, in your quiet moments, walking with you, speaking to you, revealing himself to you. And may the Holy Spirit empower you to live boldly, love deeply, and carry the good news of forgiveness and new life wherever you go. Go in peace, go in hope, go in the power of the resurrection. God bless you. Amen. He is risen.